Welcome to the
Good Stuff.
Cheers.
This is lovely.
Oh, what a dream.
Right, this is Graciano, boys. Quick wine lesson. Graciano, Spanish variety, grown here in Australia, McLarenvale, made by a group called Paxton, who one of our partners for Grapes of Mirth, who we do comedy events with in McLarenvale. They're awesome. This is a great wine. Really,
it smells amazing.
Yeah, this is what we call smashable wine. You just crunch it, just smash it. It's not very hard to drink.
Oh, yeah, that's very good.
It's easy to drink, isn't it? It's like Ribena with alcohol in it. That's what it is.
It's yum as well, though.
It's like a warm hug is what it is.
Good, isn't it?
Do you know the grapes? We talked about Grapes of Mirth on our last episode.
I was about to say, you came up on our last episode.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Because we were talking.
I've never listened. I will now that I'm on it.
I tried to see podcast numbers today and got locked out of like the podcast account.
Now you're locked out.
So, were you locked out before?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. So we'll never know now.
It's only one at a time, clearly.
We were talking about that gig we did. It might have been McLarenvale. South Australia, where a fight broke out and someone snuck backstage. Nicky Britton was our guest.
Yeah, it was McLaren.
And I remember.
Only fight I've ever seen in a winery in my life.
Well, that was the thing.
It was crazy.
And you know, it was weird. Tom, just for a bit of back reference, it was at a winery in McLarenvale. We won't name because it was Coriol. And it was awesome day. It was lovely.
It's a beautiful winery.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's like 800 people there, beautiful surrounds, like amazing vista. Everyone's drinking, having a good time. And then all of a sudden, just randomly, this fight just breaks out in the middle of the set. And we're just like, what's that carry on? Turns out, like, we find out later on, there's a little bit of fisticuffs. It was an off-duty police officer.
Oh, that's the bit I forgot,
And we're like, aren't you meant to stop this stuff, not start it?
Well, what did he start it again? Do we know?
I don't know. No, I think it was, from memory, I think it was a female off-duty police officer started the fracas, and then the two guys got involved in it.
That's right. And it was crazy because the whole time the fight started, and then the woman saw that as an opportunity to come backstage and yell at Nicky Britton.
Yes.
And the whole time.
Whilst I was dealing with
you're on stage yelling, back down, back down.
That's so weird.
Back down your dog.
Yeah, I remember you called the two guys dogs. Yeah, you're like, back down your dogs.
Dogs. Such an old school. Your dogs.
Well, you've got to be aggressive enough to kind of make them comply with your instructions, but you're like, 50 metres away. So you've got to,
Have you ever seen a fight at a comedy gig?
I don't think so.
I have. I. It's like a bit I used to do about this huge fight breaking out. I got a guy on stage to tell like a joke, and he told a really racist joke, and then these other guys got on stage.
Oh my God.
And they started pushing each other and then just turned into a huge bar fight.
Don't get Rotten Estonian on stage.
He was there. I felt guilty. He's a legend. You've got to respect your elders.
Do you?
But that was, I mean, that fight was like, the one on Rotten Estonian was nothing. The winery fight was more shocking because it couldn't have been more like a beautiful surround.
Yeah, incongruous. It makes no sense, does it?
Yeah.
It also feels like it came up because Nicky Britton was doing a bit about how dicks are silly, which is the funniest bit to incite a riot.
Well, was it the lady that snuck backstage? Was she with the person?
No.
The memories are kind of a bit blurred now.
I reckon it is.
A lot happened at once.
Thought her husband's dick was perfect, stood up, hit two blokes. Fight starts. She uses that opportunity to go confront Nicky.
It was an old school cock off. I don't really know what happened, but what eventuated was these people had a little bit of a fracas. There was a bit of a tension there, and I had to go and deal with it because I was up on stage, and I don't tolerate that sort of caper at all. Anywhere, no one should. But
what a comedy MC does.
Yeah, I know.
I actually like a bit of a scrap in my audience.
Yeah, this guy's some more drinks. So anyway, I'm trying to deal with it with the mic.
Round of applause for your last act, and someone hit this fuck in the face.
Our penultimate act. And then this woman, she's cut beside, like when my back was turned trying to deal with it, she's managed to go in between the speaker stack and the stage and like all of the cabling for the event, and there was a lot. Right? So she's really putting herself in peril there.
The great man Pedro was freaking out because Pedro DJ. The DJ
he's
there.
Freaking out. Is he on next?
No, he had to go on after the headliner to DJ.
Totally.
Yeah. He thought it was all going to come crashing down.
Yeah, so did I. And then this woman is backstage.
Probably your gear, is it?
Yeah. Exactly. And was just, it was bizarre. And then all of a sudden I find out that, you know, this woman is snuck backstage. She's taken it upon herself to see the opportunity to go and tell Nikki Britton that she doesn't like too much talk about men's penis sizes. And we're just going, what?
But that's, I know, so probably had
it. Did you miss what happened over there? Yeah,
that's so much more offensive.
She's just gone.
Physical violence.
This is my opportunity to tell a comedian that I disagree with penis length conversations. Go, what the fuck?
It was unbelievable. I was standing next to Ivana Aristegueta, and I remember I'd probably had a bit of wine at that point, 4 or 5 glasses of wine, and we're like, because we had to do shows that night, and we're like, should we have another drink? And we're like, I don't know. And then the fight broke out, and a woman like ran backstage to talk to Nikki, and we both looked at each other, and we're like, let's have another glass of wine.
This is a great advertisement for Grapes and Murders.
Well, you get a bit of everything. You know, there's a classy environment, but you also, you know, you get to see people go.
Yeah, come and watch some boomers punch the shit out of each other.
How is the wine industry coping with the corona situation?
The wine industry's been flogged because they can't open their cellar doors, so people can't go and taste their wines and buy their wines, so that's pretty hard for them. No events, restaurants are a big part of the wine industry now as well. So, yeah, the wine industry's copped it, and it's difficult for them too because, you know, a lot of them export to China as well, and China's playing, you know, weird fisticuffs with Australia over imports and tariffs and shit like that as well. So it's a tough time for the wine industry. And I mean, they're always dealing with things like drought and, you know, inclement weather. But they're copped a bit in the dick, but they'll get by and they'll get through it.
I feel like people have been drinking a lot at home. Yeah. I don't know. Have people been ordering direct from wineries?
Yeah, yeah. It's been good for wineries on that side.
So yeah, trying to keep them in it.
Yeah. And bottle shops have gone nuts. A mate of mine owns a bottle shop and he's just gone. He goes, I just can't. I'm employing people. And he's a great guy.
He's employing people. That's,
yeah, well, he's getting these hospo people who've lost their jobs working.
Yeah.
And he's bringing them in and getting them some work and helping them out.
Behind the bottle shop doing the cocktail tricks. It's like, mate.
No, he's giving them as prostitutes, which is awesome.
Right. Like, Unrelated to his business. Yeah. It's actually a secret. I shouldn't be mentioning it right now.
I reckon. He's like a good guy. I'm actually starting to realise now he's an awful human.
He runs a criminal syndicate.
He's a human trafficker.
But people need work. Work, all right. You've got every conversation I have with you. You've got a mate that does something legit. You walked in, and there's this like podcasting board in here that we're like obsessed
with.
Like
a mixing board.
It's a road board, and every time we have a guest, they come in and like, oh my god, you've got one of those. Merrick walks in, and he's like, oh yeah, my mate owns that company.
He doesn't own it. He's the CEO. So.
CEO, which sounds better than owning it.
That's road. Well, they make the best stuff. This is the best equipment. This is good gear. You guys have got good gear here. And when I say good gear here, I mean these lines that you've got racked up on this table.
Absolutely. Are enormous. You bought the wine. Tom's got a little bit of a sniffle problem.
It's Lions Day. That's what I call it because I'm obsessed with it.
Lions Day, that's good. That's so Bondi, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lions Day and then Lions Day. Chin chin, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, we're drinking quickly.
No, I went and bought before lockdown.
Some cocaine? Like 20. A lot of cocaine.
No, not cocaine, but like so much wine because I thought we were going to be. So I think that's a big boon for the industry.
Yeah.
Because I just thought we were not going to be able to buy anything for ages. So everyone just like bought heaps.
Yeah.
People went and bought heaps of booze from the bottle shops as well, and then they put them on like a restriction or something, didn't they? That was silly. Like, what? You know, ration toilet paper, not booze. You can't fight that war, Australia. Stop that.
I started going to a different – there's like 3 bottle shops near my house. I started going to a different one each day. So
you're an alcoholic.
Real kind of middle-aged woman white wine vibe right there. I just didn't want them to see me every day.
It's for cooking.
And then I'd never get like bulk alcohol because I didn't want to admit. I just didn't want it lying around, so I was tempted to drink it.
Does your husband hit you?
No, but he says wonderful things about my contact lenses.
He notices these things.
Are you implying you guys are married?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully.
Please not.
One day. No. Do you know, Merrick's like, I think Merrick's my comedy mentor. I've told you this before. He always gives me advice. One bit of advice he gave me was on live crosses on TV. Do you remember this bit of advice he gave me?
Yeah.
He said, always create the chaos.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the best advice I've ever heard. I was like, next time I'm doing a live cross, I'm going to take this advice, create some like a chaotic situation.
Yeah. And you're like handling it. You're overcoming it. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's like, oh, my God, can you believe that's happening? It's live
TV. You created it.
So I was on the Gold Coast for schoolies, and I there was a boy just watching me do a live cross. No, like, I mean, like, I don't know how old he was.
Did you bring the boy? This is you creating the...
I bought the boy.
I brought a little boy to schoolies. He said, create chaos, so I'm going to get him into a very dangerous situation.
And he brought a boy to schoolies, which is like taking human traffic to the beach. It's like...
Is that chaos or not? Like, it's a lot of...
That's too much chaos. That's simply too much chaos.
Ringing Merrick, I'm on the flight. I'm at the airport. I've got the boy. This is, no one's done chaos like this before.
I'm in jail.
Creating too much chaos.
I may have brought too much chaos.
I told them I was just trying to really kill the whip around, but they have not let me out on that basis, unfortunately.
The project of denying they know me.
Exactly.
I mentioned your name. It didn't help at all. They said he's been here before. He's a very similar excuse.
He dresses as a dad because he is one. That's his inroad. Oh, I'm just looking for my kids. Yeah. Oh, that's creepy. We'll turn that. So you brought the chaos.
So I've got I'm there and I'm like on that strip in Surfers, and there's like a guy watching me. He's probably 17 or 18 or something. And I'm about to go live and I was wearing a hat, and then I heard your voice in my head. And it was like, bring the chaos, because everyone was like, oh, it's wacky, you're at schoolies. Mm. So I said to the guy, I was like, do you want to steal my hat during the interview? Oh,
that's great.
I was like, that's chaos.
Are you telling me that sometimes when I see that happen on the news or something, sometimes they've asked, but that's been arranged.
Well, have you ever seen someone steal a hat on a live cross?
Not that, actually. But you know, when people are in the background, sometimes like that kind of chaos really does add to it. I'm just pro the strategy. Yes. I'm just in awe. Can you be my mentor?
Whiteboard here. And there's a text in there. I can always just write it out. Bring the chaos.
That's what I'm after. Anyway, so I said, I was doing three crosses throughout the show, and I said, in the last one, steal the hat and I'll chase after you or something like that. Anyway, so it comes to it. I was like, he's left, like he's gone completely. And then he takes like a 100-meter run up, I reckon, from behind me, swings through, grabs the hat off my head, like smacks me in the back of the head, and then proceeds to keep running. But it was so quick that no one really saw what happened.
He looked like he'd been assaulted.
He was too good a runner. He didn't show up on the screen.
And he just kept running down the mall, like in Surfers Paradise. So I was trying to like chase after him, and then they kind of cut. And I was like, that was pretty chaotic. And then I just heard the producer in my ear be like, what was that?
What was that?
And I was like, oh, the guy, I got, I just, R- a guy
bring
randomly.
Chaos.
I brought some ambiguous chaos that didn't quite show up, and all that really came across is that I was severely disrespected.
Well, and the producer was like, okay, whatever. And then on the project Twitter page, like that whole night was just people being like, fake, 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 fake. I got called out.
Really?
Oh, my God.
People cared about it that much?
Oh, come on.
You're spinning it back into it's a positive thing.
I reckon it's
a thing no one would ever remember.
Yeah, but you know what? When I say you've created your own chaos, right? Right. If you've got to go and do a cross and you're going to put yourself...
Could you put this on the whiteboard, please?
It's just like, I'm trying to think. Last year I was shooting something in South Australia. And this guy who's a winemaker, a guy called Taris, he's an awesome winemaker. And he said, hey, listen, up the road, there's some alpacas. Do you want to go and see them? And I went, this has got nothing to do with any of the reasons why I'm here. But yes, I do. Because I was with the film crew, right? And
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, I want to go and see some alpacas. He goes, oh, they're a bit weird. And I said, that's us.
But aren't it? Yeah. Alpacas are just weird.
Exactly. They're stupid.
We've got some normal alpacas up there.
Yeah, exactly. What is normal? And I went up to the fence and I went, this is an animal. So therefore, you created the chaos. Who knows what? Maybe this animal will do something stupid to me and it will be funny. So as I was saying, whilst we're filming, because I said to the crew straight away, roll up as soon as we step out of the vehicle, because who knows what could happen. And we go up to the alpaca and I go, do these things bite? And as I've said that, the fucking thing bit me on the arm. It just went bang and snapped me on the arm. And I was like, bang, there we go.
That's chaos.
That's the chaos.
That's chaos.
You're
That's
bleeding.
Chaos,
you're
baby. Like,
unfortunately, it was an ad for putting down alpacas. So there's an ad.
Everyone's like, fake, I hope.
Yeah, right.
Fake, please be fake.
Please be fake. We don't want to kill them.
Because you've been on Studio 10 a bit of late.
Yep. And I was on there today.
Oh, did you bring the chaos on? You can't bring the chaos on that show.
No, I tried to bring the chaos, and they said, can you just sit there?
That's a pretty good gig, I reckon. Like, because I put, I scroll through the channels on the more, like, and see the tent, and it's like always on TV. People are worried about budget cuts in this world of TV. That show's never going anywhere.
Oh, never say that about any show. Never say that about anything in media ever. But yeah, sure, you probably jinxed it, but no.
I mean, if I have the power.
It's a stalwart. Yeah, it's been there for 20 years. I mean, I used to watch it, you know, a different iteration of it. 25 years ago when I was an unemployed, you know, hopeful comedian, because Bert Newton used to host the morning show.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you go, right.
I remember that. Good Morning Australia.
Yeah.
And who was the sidekick?
Belvedere.
Belvedere. Now, what's he up to?
He's a TV producer now, I think.
Really?
Yeah, quite a successful one too, I think.
What's he? Do we know what he's producing?
Not that show. I don't know. I don't know what he does. His real name's John, I think. Nice John. Bloke, yeah. But so Bert Newton, who was, you know, like...
Who was Bert Newton?
Yeah, exactly. But he's like, you know, Gold Logie winner and, you know, one of the icons of Australian comedy. And he was doing GMA, but he went in there and just owned it. And that's what I reckon with comedy is the most important thing. No matter what circumstance you're in, no matter what the preconceptions of it are by you or anybody else, if you're going to be in it. Just get in it. And be yourself in that environment and just enjoy it. And that was the thing about Bert. Bert just kind of, he just went, yep, I'm selling vacuum cleaners and shampoo. So let's do this. Let's do this hard. And it was really good. It was funny. And I still like watching it because Bert was selling, you know, some pretty ordinary products, which
I was
buying.
How many people are buying the stuff on that show?
People buying that
shit. It's moving units.
Yeah, man.
It's wonderful acting.
Foot massages and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, they sell them. They sell heaps.
You buy the massage.
You buy like
you buy the foot massage.
Oh, I thought it was like a lady being like, oh, I'm good at it. I swear it doesn't really come across on the television.
Four easy payments of $29.95. She'll come
round. Like, the guy at the bottle shop is the pimp. He will do the transaction. He'll manage that.
Taunton's got a boy.
I've got a boy. I do have a boy I can get a hold of.
Do you need a head scratch?
I'll get a hat boy.
A running head scratch, a new kind of massage.
So people are buying it, though. Like, I always watch it and I go, well, I guess they must be if the segment's still on TV.
Yeah. Well, that's it. If it wasn't being paid for, that TV show wouldn't exist. No, you know, no TV show that's not making money exists. You can rate and still not make money. And so, you know, that's the thing is you've always got to – the television networks are always going to make sure that those – whatever the program it is, it's bringing in dollars.
Do you know, I met Richard Wilkins once.
I know.
And I asked him.
This story like.
No, shut up. I asked him what he thought about the state of TV, and he didn't miss a beat, and he just said, stronger than ever.
Right. It's almost like he works on it.
Hang on. Was this before, during, or after the time he had coronavirus?
Did he get coronavirus?
Yeah, he was one of the first.
Early adopter.
What do you reckon if he didn't have it and like did it for clout? That's the accusation being thrown around. Yeah, exactly. Just like you're in the news, you know.
Got
what I mean?
Their own.
But he's at the age where
start
everyone
talking
was
about how beloved you are.
Well, yeah, and everyone was quite worried because he was in the danger range in terms of age. Everyone's like, we might lose Dickie. He was probably more popular, more relevant than ever.
I thought you were about to say than Tom Hanks. I'm like, mate, hold on.
Ooh, well, steady.
I'll take Richard. You take Tom Hanks.
Yeah, no, I think it's Tom Hanks in that state. But that's right. There was Tom Hanks, Richard Wilkins. Did he get it from Tom Hanks?
That's what happened. Yeah, which is a real showbiz situation.
That's awesome. What a great thing that you get like something that could kill you from Tom Hanks.
You don't think he got it from Tom Hanks?
I mean, the nature of it is that you can't know who you got it from. And I think it's quite likely that it was like some sort of intermediary, other person that gave it to both of them or something. But like, of course, the story you're going to stick with is that you got it from Tom Hanks.
I saw Richard Wilkins look down the barrel of a camera and say, yeah. I got corona from Tom Hanks.
But you don't know. But of course you're going to be like, no, I got it from Barry, the guy who carries the luggage in the Gold Coast Hotel. I've got to be honest.
Yeah, I got it from Sam's boy.
Oh, my boy, he's fine. He's too young. He's safe.
Yeah, he can't get it. Young people can't get it.
Kids are fine, yeah. He'll be okay.
No, he'd be fine. I wouldn't worry about that.
Speaking of Studio 10, I wanted to I was watching it maybe, and you were on, maybe late last year, and there was a guy, I think we've talked about this briefly, but there was a guy who was a guest who I wanted to ask you about, who piqued my interest. Probably the craziest guests I've ever seen on there. I don't know if you remember him. And I wanted to play you a video, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure.
Of this guy. Have you seen this,
Tom? I don't think I've seen
it. It's great stuff. And I'll edit the like actual audio into
We should have put it on this screen.
This is insane. You guys have done proper prep and everything.
Dude, can I say we haven't done prep?
No.
We're just kind of, I mean, Tom clearly has done a little bit of prep.
Yeah.
Prep. I haven't done any prep.
Oh, wow, he really does have a clip and everything.
Oh, wow. Can you make it big screen?
What did you do? Go back and find it.
How'd you do this?
Talk about not letting shit go.
It's out there forever, man.
It's not about you. It's about this guy. Because I looked at, I found it on Facebook.
Go.
He's known only as Joe Doner. Our next guest spends his time travelling the world and impregnating as many women as possible, claiming to have fathered more than 100 children.
Do you remember this guy?
Yeah, I do.
Look at him.
He really did not like me, and I really did. Is it
that, he looks like a sperm.
He does.
He's and a bald man. How old do you reckon you'd say he was?
Oh, he's older than me. He's 50 old, I reckon. I'm 46, and he's older than me, and he looks it too.
And he travels the world.
Impregnating women.
Impregnating women who, I suppose, don't want to go with sperm donations. And so he will personally, kind of off the books, it's not clear whether it's legal.
No, it's very disputable.
And does he work for your mate in the bottle shop as well?
You did say earlier, I have a friend everywhere. Yeah. I've got a friend who works at a sperm bank. In fact, he is the sperm bank. This guy's donated, like, seriously, when it says donated, he a lot of the times he kind of does it old school. It's an old school manual delivery.
No,
I suppose I just cut out my favorite clips from this interview.
Do you find that you build an emotional attachment to these babies that you fathered, or is it purely business?
Well, they are my biological offspring, so yes, I do feel affection for them.
And why do you think women come to you rather than just going to a sperm bank or through a more, I suppose, conventional service?
Well, they get to meet me, and apparently I appeal to many women, so I'm happy to do that for them.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Imagine sitting on a panel show.
And you're sitting there. Do you remember it?
Yeah,
what were your thoughts?
I found him quite detestable. I really did. And, like, I don't really care. I'm not a very judgmental person, but I didn't like him at all. He knew that I didn't like him. And as soon as the segment stopped, because I don't think I even asked him a question. I think I asked him one piffly question. I was going to go him on something, which was about how are you going to feel when these children that you fathered turn into adults and then they want to come to you and they need life advice or they're, potentially suicidal or something like that. Where's the caring father then and how much are you going to be able to invest in? I really wanted to go on because it's the legitimate questions. Like, you can't just – I'm a dad. I know what it takes, right? Anyway, and he could just see it. I was just brewing
up. You just got your head down.
Yeah, exactly. And then afterwards he kind of went me a little bit. He could tell that I was just not
off air.
Yeah,
You have a few gags, but
I remember it being really bristly. Go, yeah, a few gags.
But everyone on that panel does not look like they want him to be there.
So uncomfortable with it. And there's one journalist who I think was kind of came on with him who did a story on him, and that's kind of the. And so she kind of takes ownership and sometimes explains that it's okay. But so he's just said that some women like me.
Is it part of it your ego, the fact that?
Spot on.
To be honest,
part of it, your ego.
Yeah. The first question I would have asked as well. Just like you think you're a pretty good guy.
Yeah, you think you're a bit of a player. Don't you?
You just said women love me.
Do you realise that you're bald and you've got a bit of a girl's bum? I mean, is it a...
But how do... I mean, of all the people to do it, how is he getting work?
Well, he kind of explains later, I might have cut this out, that he had sex with some people early on and, like, basically made them pregnant. He had a few pregnancy scares early on in his life.
And he thought, maybe I could earn a crust out of this.
That's legitimately all that he said, is that he's like, I'm going to take this on the road. I'm going to go international with a guy that's just, I don't know.
You know what I think one of his fallbacks, I've got to be careful because, I don't want to upset him. But
I think you'll be right, mate.
I think one of his
the world.
Dear Lord.
I think one of his fallbacks when I asked him off air, I said, what if, these kids come to you and make claims? If you've got 100 children, they all make a class action. You're gone, right? And that's legit. Like, they all get together and they go, let's do a class action on him. There's no way knowing he's going to get past that. Particularly not in America where it's so litigious. And he's seriously, his response was, oh, no, I live in South America.
Oh,
that's coming up.
wasn't off air.
The lines are blurred. I can't remember. Like, I was thinking that was antagonistic. That was off air. No, it was on air.
Okay. All right.
So this is your... You're just asking him whether it's about the ego.
You know, you are happy that some women find you attractive. Do you reckon that's part of the reason why this, or do you think it's an avuncular thing that... Or not avuncular, sorry. It's more, a generosity concept that you are going around impregnating women who can't have children or don't want a father or just want a sperm donor. What do you think is the driving reason why you do this?
I don't really think about it that carefully.
It's just like, I just do it.
He's just looking at you being like, loser.
Such a you just fair enough
sex,
question.
Have sex with a woman.
Oh, I wish people could see my face. Like, just how disappointed I am in myself for being in that situation. And also in that guy.
It's not your fault.
I don't really think about it.
You don't think about it, mate.
Exactly.
Human lives. You don't really think about human lives.
I don't think
mate, seriously, if I go down to the shops because I have to go buy some milk, I give a bit of thought about what else I might need when I'm down there. Well, I need some bread. Should I get some crumpets? Do the kids need some ice cream? He's just going, oh, I'm just going to impregnate 100 women. I don't really think about the consequences of what I'm doing. I don't really give it a lot of thought about them growing up to be human beings.
Forget about consequences. He just doesn't even know why he does it. From his perspective.
He's like, feels good, I guess.
My favourite bit is the bit just before you orgasm. That's my favourite bit. I suppose that's kind of why.
The bit when they ask me for money, I don't like. But you know the bit before? Just like before, you know, that part's great.
Well, that's the thing. So I assume he takes a fee for his services, right?
Well, that's addressed later, and I'm not sure if... I think I edited that out as well. Basically, he's not allowed to, I think. I think you're not allowed to take money. But he said... So basically, the journalist that brought him on was saying, you know, it's legal if you don't take money for it. And he kept going, well, you can get some money.
Maybe donations.
And then he said, all you need to do is just say, you know, your hotel costs $5,000 and your flight's over. And then they pay that. So, like... You know, it's for flights.
So, Tom, what's your fascination with this guy? Because that was like, no, but I'm just wondering. Like, this is
sometimes like live comedy's been cancelled a bit at the moment. Maybe there's another line of work.
Well, this is the only thing he's enjoyed for my entire career. He just comes out one time where he was on Studio 10 and awkwardly tried to ask a serial man, child maker, it's whatever just, he is.
I mean, no, this is not about your career,
it's
man. This
about
is about,
it's about this like
an amazing moment in broadcasting.
You. It's about this man, and you have more, you met him basically. So it's like,
you're closer to this guy.
I don't think I shook his hand. I didn't shake his hand because I just went, nah, I know where that hand's been.
But it's not so much, I mean, I suppose you do have kids, so you're taking a bit of a moral stance against it.
I think you've played it perfectly.
And
if I
had to think about my stance, I suppose I'm morally against it as well, but I more just find it hilarious that this guy literally lives in Argentina and travels the world when he's convinced women to not, because he has, you know, Facebook pages and stuff, to not do sperm donation. Instead, you need this bloke.
Yeah, yeah. And I think what he does, I think part of his gig, his routine, is that he might go over there saying, look, I'll come over and just give you a donation, you know, like a normal sperm bank donation, meaning it's manual as opposed to an intimate connection. No, I'm trying to be an adult.
It's not over.
How does your donation work?
Well, women choose how they want to do it. Some women are going to do artificial insemination, in which case I would just provide them the sample and the syringe. And I do have instructional videos so they can see how to do that on their own.
Looking forward to watching those.
Told you had a few good gags. Can't wait to have a look at that.
I love how your memory of it is like, oh, I didn't say anything the entire time.
I'm heckling you.
They're trying to explain the process.
Yeah, and I'm being an arsehole. You know why? Because like, I don't know. I think as a comedian, you know, you do, your job is to kind of get a beat on people, yeah?
Oh, and that's exactly what you were just saying about, like, you got to be yourself in the context that you're in. Which is, yeah, you can't let this guy off without making a few gags at his expense. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Any other show except like Studio 10, where it is like, maybe you could tear strips off this. Well, maybe not any other show, but like, imagine if you met that guy doing live stand-up. And he said to him in the crowd, what do you do for a job? And he's like, yeah, I kind of inseminate women.
It's not a job so much, but I get my accommodation paid for and something else paid for as
and
well.
Sometimes they choose to donate large sums of money.
Exactly.
So, hang on a second. Just let me get this right. You live in Argentina, but you fly around the world. I mean, look at you. You look like a creep and a sex offender.
You look so creepy.
Now, as a sex offender, you fly around. That's what you'd be doing. If you're doing stand-up, you'd really hook in.
So I'm confused. So why was he on the show? Is he got a... Is he promoting a book or something?
I think he's promoting. It's interesting, and he was the subject of a piece. I think he was over here visiting a few of his new kids.
He had some, oh my god!
Because he meets them when they're born. That's his way of kind of absconding from responsibility, and then he never sees them again. That's his say. But sorry, so this is him explaining the process. So one option is artificial insemination. You're right.
Yep.
The videos, and then there's another option.
The other way is,
and also there's natural insemination, which is a form of sexual intercourse, and you know, depending on what type of relationship a woman might be in, we might do partial insemination, which is a little bit less. Foreplay, you know, less emotional attachment developing, as you were mentioning.
He's doing foreplay.
Imagine the husband's just there being like, stop that. No kissing.
Oh, wow.
The little smirk he gives as well.
The smirk is...
my God, some poor, couple has just gone... Okay, and Gary, you sub out. Bring in the guy from Argentina.
Bring in the guy with the sperm.
Imagine and being in first go. And then this guy's in instead.
Because I thought if that was your job, you'd look like Brad Pitt. Or
well,
something.
Totally.
Like exactly. That would be your big selling point.
His one selling point is that he doesn't have any genetic disorders.
He looks like a deflated volleyball.
He does. Yeah.
Like. That's the thing. Like, you know, what if he's got some sort of genetic coding that is wrong? You know, that's faulty, that's flawed, or that doesn't match with somebody else's genetic coding. And then they produce a child that has extreme illness, like, you know, something really, really difficult to live with. Who's paying for that, mate?
It's because doctors haven't given him the tick of approval to do
this. No tick of approval. That's the thing. Also, what if the child ends up being a psycho like him?
I want to follow my dad.
Personality wise, it's like, yeah.
It's like my dad did 100, I'm doing 200.
Well, my dad would be proud of me.
Exactly. It is crazy because there are obviously laws around, like, sperm donation.
Not enough, I reckon. Whatever they've done, I think they need to double it.
Exactly. Put a bit more work into those laws. Would you ever consider sperm donation? Like, if a friend of, like, somebody asked you.
Well, what he was saying, which I think is true, I think it was the journalist that was saying, apparently why there's a bit of a shortage now in Australia is because they recently introduced this policy that when I think the child turns 18, they get your phone number and they can contact you. Like, they're told who you are.
Right.
Because I think previously when that wasn't possible, the kids, struggled with not knowing who their father was. So they've introduced that. So a lot of people don't want to do it because they don't want that.
I had a friend not ask me, but semi kind of be like, would you ever consider it?
Mm.
She's got a partner and a female partner.
Oh, right.
And they were like, we're not at that point, but like one day down the track, we would love to have kids. And they were like, you know, she was just kind of asking her friends whether they would ever consider it. And I hadn't ever thought about it then. And maybe I would. I don't know.
I mean, it's pretty...
It's fraught with danger, I reckon.
It is scary, but it's like if you thought you could bring a lot of joy to a loving situation.
Well, I can't do it with sex. Trust me, I've tried. I don't know. Look, I've tried to bring the joy, and it was underwhelming.
You got to get a boy.
Which of the three were you? Partial insemination, or full, or just based on videos?
This guy to hang around and give you some tips afterwards.
Exactly. Oh, it's fraught with danger, I reckon.
What do you think of the big issues?
Got a few more.
Oh, we're still going.
There's not more on this, is there? Yeah. There's
How no long more was more is revealed.
Oh God, here we go.
So there have been some ethical issues.
A great question.
Yeah.
Sarah's nailed that. She's
did Sarah. Was Sarah off this whole thing?
Oh, she was really good.
She was great.
She was really
good. I won't say who it was, but there was somebody who was normally on the panel just could not be on with that man.
Really?
Yeah, female. And they were there on that day, and they said, "I'd rather not be involved in this."
Totally.
And she was really not into it. And I said to Dinesh Drysdale. I'm going to give him a match.
Such a good Australian showbiz name, Drysdale.
She's great.
Dinesh Drysdale. That's
Ding
awesome.
Unreal. She's fantastic.
Totally.
Awesome. She's a weapon. And I said to her, I'm gonna get stuck into this boy. And she goes, good. She goes, I don't think I like him. That's very condemning for me.
I don't think I like him.
I mean, yeah. The most polite thing you could ever say about
him. I've met a guy who, and we stress again, travels the world. Having unprotected sex.
Oh, it's actually like a sketch character that you'd be like.
And he couldn't look more like a villain. Like it's exactly like a.
He looks like like you said, a deflated volleyball. I would say like a shaved, deflated Weinstein or something.
Ooh.
You know, like he's got that weird chub about it. He looks like he could get me too'd.
It's
there's probably so many options as well for him to get.
You reckon? So much defamation going on.
This guy,
yeah.
No. Not going to get sued by this guy, the most legally precarious man in the world.
I know, right? Double jeopardy, mate. We'll sue
exactly.
you.
Yeah, you want to be Dad. In the courtroom, do you?
Yeah, just go, I'm sorry, but your taunts, biological father, is it?
He's like, you'll never find me in Argentina.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to legally sue your son. I think that's right. I haven't looked into it.
Correct. Wow.
So we've got more.
Yeah.
There's more. God.
There have been some ethical issues raised about the natural conception way. In that,
I haven't heard any.
Well, that I read that you only have a sexual health check once a year.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Listen to his justification.
Well, I have them. You see, in the United States, that's the recommended time to do it. That's what our Surgeon General says.
Is it the same Surgeon General said it was okay to smoke cigarettes? Is it that guy?
But it's also a general advice, not for a guy who travels the world. Really.
And his business is built. Surely that question comes up a bit by people who are like, oh, can you impregnate me?
What
are you doing sexual health-wise?
His policy.
How many women are you sleeping with?
I do it more frequently when women ask to. So it's really up to the woman how she wants to do that.
So only does it when they want, but wouldn't otherwise.
Oh, my Lord.
All right, we got a few more.
God, this
Man, you've done a deep dive on this.
Just going to ask, what about when you're actually... having sex, for want of a better term, or putting your sperm directly into someone who wants to get pregnant. So it was interesting when you were saying that there's nothing, you feel like there's nothing sort of sexual about that process, or there's some.
See, you just looking.
Fuming.
You're just like, I would rather be anywhere else in the world right now.
This is great.
Because you're sitting next to him.
I know, and it looks like you know, in TV terms, like if you're sitting next to him, people automatically kind of, you know, probably subconsciously think, oh, you're friends.
Totally.
Like
absolutely,
this guy's here because he's like a friend of yours, and I'm sitting there just going, of course. This person is abhorrent.
Yeah. Of course, and
we don't think that you're associated.
Yeah, I know, I was going, like, I don't think anyone there was really, like, you know, none of the hosts were really going, this is a great story.
Oh, of course not.
I think it's a good story.
But you all ask great questions as well. That was the good thing, because it was like, not this puff piece. Everyone just asked exactly what everyone was thinking throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, no one was like, oh, well, good luck with it.
Everyone's like, hang on, what the fuck? Are you actually rooting them? And he's like, has to go like, yeah.
And the journalist, there's a journalist with him.
Yeah.
She hasn't said anything so far.
Oh, but no. I've cut her. She's boring.
But she was covering the story, though.
Yeah,
so,
she was the reason he was there.
She's not like, you know, sponsoring him to come out to Australia. He was like out here to visit somebody who had just had the child, like one of his children. He's going to say, hey, I'm your dad, but I've got to go to Argentina.
You'll never get to go. I'm so sorry.
Oh, not really easy to get to. Oh, shame. That's a shame.
What's your address? Oh, I can't pronounce it.
San Miguel Drive. Bye.
Done. So this is the question of whether you form emotional attachments.
Yes. Can't, even if you're in a sperm bank, you can't produce a sample unless you're having some type of... sexual titillation.
So are you sometimes doing that with a woman who has another partner, or is it, like, I guess, how does it actually work, I wonder?
Well, it just works like anything. It's just sex.
Oh.
All right, hang on. I need a whiteboard. Oh, I've got one. Got a whiteboard. Need a whiteboard. Oh, man.
It's just sex.
I hate this guy.
I think we've got one more. Or maybe two.
Do you ever worry as well that perhaps because the laws are different here in Australia that down the track you might be open to...
Well, you mean like Centrelink is going to come
up? That's right, providing child support and things like that. And what
I live in Argentina. They can try to find me.
Oh, fuck off. Fuck off. Are you kidding me?
And that's the only time he's like really smiling.
Yeah, he leans back with a grin.
It's like he's playing cards and he's just throwing down the full house going, there we go, bang, look at that.
I live in Argentina.
He just goes, what's that? Oh, come and find me. Aces and eights, I'm out. Such a douche move.
Unbelievable. It's like everything you couldn't imagine it to be that bad.
And then one more.
Having said that, he's still better than my father.
Merrick.
No, my dad did a lot of drink driving in the 70s, so, you know.
But at least he only had a few kids to disappoint, probably, as opposed to 100.
Yeah, true. He's got some catching up to do.
Well, there's one last clip.
There's one more, and I think we find out how he met his girlfriend.
You have a girlfriend now?
I do.
How does she feel about this?
Well, I met her through sperm donations.
And that's the real reason he got into it.
He's meeting and starting relationships.
It's like a social club. I met her through sperm donations.
Maybe it was a meetup group.
Hey, guys, follow me on sperm donations. It's not a social media.
What a grub. That's fascinating.
Oh, dear. Sorry, it's just the person who's taken my interest over the past year.
I mean,
I posted about it at the time on Twitter.
Did you?
So I was just watching just a few clips of him saying.
So did
stuff
you
like that.
Record it when you saw it?
I found this on Facebook today, but I recorded it with my phone at the time. Just the bit, I just love the reveal over the course of the interview as well, because it like starts off, you're like, okay, this guy has like 100 kids. What's going on here? And then it's like, oh, artificial insemination. Okay. But sometimes he just has sex with
just
them,
sex with the
including foreplay. And then sometimes they have partners, and then you're like, oh. And then it's like, what does your partner think? Oh, I met her during it. So it's like, oh.
Imagine ticking the list with your husband, being like, so how do we want to do it? We could get it artificially or he could fuck me.
Is there a semi option? Is there a semi? Oh, yeah, there's a semi. Yeah. Oh, we should look at that.
Because that's what they tell you in sales. Baby. Always present three options. Correct. When you want them to do the one in the middle. So it's artificial insemination to artificial. There's the one where I play with the tits for ages and it's like foreplay. And then there's the middle option where I just like fuck you real quick. And they're like, oh, maybe the middle one. Like, perfect.
She's going to her husband. She's going, babe, there's a tick box for him going down on me. What do you reckon? Down on me or not? Don't tick it.
He's locked in the next room.
Don't tick it.
There's a peephole version here. No, I won't need that. I won't need that. I won't be there.
There's a check-in service as well. Every 2 weeks for the next 20 years, exactly. He can come around.
Does that help with the baby? It says here, absolutely not. It says it doesn't help at all with the baby, but it could be fun for me.
Oh, my God. It's also amazing that that's on the internet, like that exists. That's just on the internet that you. It's a moment in your life. You might have forgotten it, Merrick.
The thing I love about...
And it's there.
It's all I love about, I suppose, television, about... But anything live is where you get these kind of really random things and you do forget about them. But you just go, that's an experience in life when you meet somebody like that. That's what I love about
absolutely,
what I mean.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, some people go, at first kind of glance, you look at things like a morning talk show and you go, oh, okay, well, they'll be talking about vacuum cleaners or whatever. But there's so much random stuff that comes along.
Yeah, that's insanity.
Like,
I can't stress how surprised I was.
Imagine trying to pitch that show to someone.
But literally the next thing which will be on air will be somebody selling a mattress. Do you know what I mean? And I sit there, the irony in my mind is he's just talked about bedding 100 women and you sell a mattress.
Yeah, he should buy one of those mattresses. It sounds like he's using it a bit.
You should, they're amazing.
If you tick that box, you're selling them.
Exactly. Oh, that's my job. Sell the mattresses. Yeah, it was certainly something. I remember that guy and thinking, wow. What a piece of work. But I didn't think I never ever thought I would be talking about it on a podcast. Honestly, I feel like I've almost been hijacked.
I mean, I don't think you've been hijacked at all. I think it's good to revisit that.
It's great.
Oh, it's just one of the craziest characters. Because I suppose the other thing is that, like, why would he go on TV? Other than, because
He's proud of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's just proud of it. He's actually, like, it's the ego thing that is what you asked about. Like, he's just actually...
The ego question.
I love that because he's like, yeah, sometimes I suppose women just like me. And you're like, do you reckon your ego's involved? He's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, he didn't like that. But that's because he's got a... My next question was actually going to be, do you have a God complex?
Yeah, totally. It's like cult stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it is.
It's God complex. When you get into 100, like you're just trying to appropriate.
When you hit triple digits.
You're 85, dude.
You Bradman? You know, like seriously. You know,
even Bradman didn't average 100.
No, exactly. So he's,
Do you know something? I was, last week, Merrick, I filled in on Triple J, right? And they were kind of, the guy who was paneling, hosts the show, Michael Hing, he doesn't normally panel. And like someone was kind of like showing him how to do something else. And then there was a button, they looked at me and they said, oh, like if you don't do it properly, the station will go off air. And they said it hasn't, not since Merrick and Rosso. And like so that's years ago now, but apparently like no one's ever done it except you guys.
Yeah, I turned it off. I turned off Triple J. Like turned it actually off. Turned off the radio.
They
station.
Have a button.
Yeah, they have a button. Apparently.
Which seems like you shouldn't. Have
I
a button.
Like you would assume they wouldn't have a button, but
no, they got a button. I got a picture of the button.
I don't know if they've still got the button now, but I think there's steps you can take and it will turn the radio station off or something now.
Yeah, yeah. No, they put in a default because of me. They changed. Apparently, they changed the way they had the default settings because of me.
I mean, fair enough too.
I mean, you want to press the button, obviously.
I've got a picture on my phone. I'll see if I can find it if you want
to. I would love to see this button.
It's so what happened is we're on air at Triple J, and I think it was like might have been the first year or second year. Wouldn't matter. I would have been hungover, no doubt. And we were.
Did you do breakfast or drive?
Drive.
Oh, so you could be hungover.
Oh man, all the time. It was awful, and it was great, but. I remember we had to vacate the normal Triple J studios because they were doing some work on it. We went to one of the other 702 studios, which is downstairs, Old People's Radio, which I'd probably be very suited for now. Anyway, and
that'd be great. 702, that's a dream spot.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, let's not rag on 702. No, we can rag on the 100 sex guy.
Yeah, no, they're great. But so we went and used their studios and inside their studio, they had this like a big, looks like a fan switch, it's like a Clipsal switch, and it's a dial, and that's the power. And it says there's a button there, a big switch, and a little sign above it which says, do not turn off.
Do you ever see like just studio a cartoon?
It's like, I'll show you a picture of it anyway.
You ejected yourself from the studio as you go flying up into the air.
So we're having a chat. We're talking on air and I said something. I made a joke about turning off the studio, right?
What would happen if I touched that button?
Yeah, yeah. And I said, is that button real? Like, this is how the conversation went from memory. Something like, do you think that button's real? And Rosso goes, well, why don't you find out? And I go, I will. And he goes, well, then do it. And I went, I will. And he goes, well, then do it. So I went, okay. And I went over and I turned it off. And I shut down the national broadcaster.
Was it just – just Triple J or all of the ABC?
No, just Triple J. But when you think about the size of it, it's the fact that it's the largest youth broadcaster on the planet.
It
off. It's a pretty
and it
big
just
one.
Turned it off straight away. It's just
so
off.
What happened is that the default mechanism for the radio station at the time was – if the power shut off, so the whole studio just went black, like all the screens, all the
that's
buttons,
actually terrifying.
Anything that had any light and, was now dead.
And you regretted it at that point?
Well, I mean, surely like, you're like,
oh,
what?
Shit. Nobody told me that was the off button.
What? You would have been like, yeah, that's pretty much what I suppose would have happened. Pressing a button with a sign.
I remember it clear as a bell. It just, like, everything just went power down, like just off, like in a movie, everything was off. And the default mechanism for Triple J at the time was that if it did have a break in the power, it went to a default mechanism to freeze the last thing active, right? So
what does that mean?
If you were playing music, it would continue to open, keep that channel open, oh, okay, and continue to play that channel, right? So it shut down all channels. But because we were on air, what was still live was the microphone. So the studio lights that said on air are now off. They're black.
No.
But you're still broadcasting.
We're still broadcasting. It's locked and we can't turn it off. Wait, here's the thing, you can't turn it off.
So it's just you being like, fuck!
So this is what the fuck? And that's exactly what it was.
Actually press it.
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And that was like, you can still go back and hear that audio. Triple J play it from time to time. It's like one of the highlights, apparently, of Triple J.
I bet did you get in trouble?
Oh, yeah.
In the meeting tomorrow.
Oh,
I reckon it'll come up. Good show, guys. Can anyone think of ways we can improve the show?
One pointer I might have.
Well, the first thing you hear is gone, Jen, our producer, goes, "What the fuck did you just do?" And I went, "You told me to do it." And Rossi goes, "Mate, I was joking." I go, "You told me to do it." It's like there's nothing's on mic. It's because
of course. Yeah.
Go, "But you told me to do it. Mate, I wasn't serious." Well, I didn't know. And he goes, "You fucking idiot." And I go, "But you told me to do it! I didn't know!" And he goes, "It says on the wall, do not turn it off, but you told me to do it!" And this whole thing, this whole conversation is playing out live right around the entire country. And that's why it was kind of like a big deal, because there was nothing set up about it. It was completely candid because we didn't think we were on air. So this whole conversation. And because we weren't at Triple J, because we were one floor below, everybody who worked at Triple J could hear it, but they didn't know where we were.
So they're running.
So no one can tell us, "Shut up! Stop talking!" And I'm going, "Well, it's the shit, put the button in!"
But also, it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
What else do you want? It's pretty funny.
Having said that, I mean, I've heard Blink-182 and it's a better listen. I'm not going to lie.
So how did the station get back on air?
Oh, they literally, somebody ran in and they just go, "You guys are on air! You guys are on air!" There's a bit of a shuffle and the power came back up and they turned it back on and everything kind of rebooted, and then we went back on air and we had
What did you say after?
So this next one's Grinspoon. Don't worry about that.
Dead cat three times. Eric and Rosso, it's been good. It's been real.
Catch us later.
So, yeah, I mean, that's one of the bigger cock-ups that I've had.
It's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad. Like, I didn't think it was that bad at the time, but I think the people who ran the station were more like, that's it.
But now they would love it. In hindsight, they would probably brag about it. They're probably not a Triple J anymore, but they would probably...
Once you've got it under control, it's good.
They'll be like, "Yeah, those bloody boys."
But during the time where the radio station is off, it's not great.
Yeah, exactly. Only because, you know, you're meant to be on air. You got one job.
You literally press
it. It's just so literal.
It's so literal, like, just not doing your job is to turn a button off to make it impossible.
But I've heard it a few times I still laugh at it. And it's not a lot of stuff. I don't really go back and...
I'm going to go find it.
Mm. Yeah, it's online. Trust me, it's online. Triple J had some... you know, best of moments of Triple J 40 years or something like that a couple of years ago. And somebody said to me, the bit where you turned off the radio station, it might have got to number one or something.
Did you have any other bits in the top?
Yeah. Maybe just bits where you didn't slip on a banana peel.
Yeah, I think once you've nailed number one, I think you just kind of, you know, you give it away.
That was number one.
Yeah, I think it was number one.
Oh, that's great.
It was the most memorable thing. It was pretty up there.
We should play it at the end of this.
Oh, yeah, let's pop it in.
Mm.
Yeah, it'd be good. And then what we'll hear is my original version of it and you go, "Oh, I don't know."
He kind of punched that up a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's actually not that dramatic. You've actually recalled it the wrong way.
It didn't go off air at all.
You were turning on the air conditioner.
Yeah. What happened? Rosso said, "Oh, imagine if that put us off air." Anyway, you're listening to Triple J.
Mess, can you turn the lights down? Sure can. Oh, what? Did you tell me to turn the lights down?
Didn't even happen. You dreamed it. You're like, and we were number one on the list of best bits.
Best bits of 40 years of Triple J.
Which is a real list.
It's a terrific radio station. It has an incredible place in Australia's heart. Mm. But it is funny that the number one moment... is when it stopped.
Yeah. The one time it stopped.
The one time it stopped.
See if you can go over there and turn it off. See whether you can turn it off.
I'll shut it off. 1, 2, 3.
And went live on air and every single screen, every single button on the desk, everything just went black and just went booted down.
Did I shut down the radio station?
Did you
shut it off?
I was joking.
What the hell did you just do?
You just told me to shut it off.
Fucking idiot.
Yellow. You're a hard act to
swallow